Hey, Freddy's Nation, it's Chris Dull here, and I want to welcome you guys to episode one of the Freddy's podcast titled Never a Dull Moment. In response to your request for more communication, we've been working to try to find some new and fun ways for us to enhance communication and deliver content to you guys that you have the ability to dial into when it's convenient for you. And so we have this podcast that we're launching, and our plan is to put out an episode every quarter. We'll be bringing in guests who are bringing us industry perspectives and taking deep dives into specific topics that resonate with our franchise community. And we do this in an effort to continue to grow and learn together. And this quarter, we have the absolute honor to have Jim Schwartz joining us today. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, it's cool. So most of you guys probably don't know this. I think I've shared this with our Franchise Advisory Council. But Jim is our sole outside board member. And we'll get to hear about Jim's background, but brings some really interesting perspective to the board and has been an absolute blessing for me and has really helped me navigate some tough decisions. And he's been a part of the Freddy's family for about 2 years now. So, Jim, welcome, and tell us a little bit about you.
Thanks, Chris. And it's really great to be here and to be with you and to be able to speak to the group out there. You might consider me a true Fredhead. Well before my involvement with Freddy's, I have enjoyed Freddy's for years, and I'm not just saying that. I am a true Fredhead. But listen, I'm in my 60s. I retired a few years ago. Long time industry guy. Been in the business for over 30 years, and we can talk a little bit more about that. I'm just hoping you get through this podcast with your voice today. So
yeah,
we'll
tell
see
you
what
happens. It's the dreaded Wichita pollen time of year. I guess I woke up this morning and like the one day that I needed my voice, it's trying to leave me. So I'm gonna hang in there though.
Awesome.
So, you know, I think it's funny, we should tell a little bit about how we met. I guess it's been close to 3 years that we've known each other, and I've always liked the saying that thank God for unanswered prayers, but we were working on another deal, right?
That's right, yeah.
I think it was Shipley Donuts?
Yeah, that's exactly right, working with a private equity group, and we got to know each other and made an immediate connection and appreciated each other's talents and friendship, and I'm so grateful that that's continued on through Freddy's.
Yeah, it's been great. And, you know, as I got to know you in that process, I really appreciated your perspective that came from years of being a franchisee. I think as a franchisor, you can quickly lose sight of really what drives success for your brand, which is your franchise community. And so your steeped background in franchising was important to me, and I thought brought a great perspective to our board. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got into the franchise business and where you were before you decided to just be a board guy?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I appreciate that. You know, if you don't believe in fate, maybe this story will help you understand fate. I grew up here in Wichita, Kansas. I admired many great restaurateurs. It's such an entrepreneurial town. I truly believe entrepreneurism was created here in Wichita. The father of that would be Fran Jabera here in Wichita, and admired so many people in the restaurant business, but had no intention of being in the restaurant business. My father came to Wichita, or was also grew up here, went off to college, graduated Harvard, and worked in public accounting. And one of the people that saw talent in my father were the Carney brothers at Pizza Hut.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, unfortunately lost my father in a tragic accident when he was 36 and I was 11.
Sorry about that.
Yep, and but somehow that restaurant, you know, blood started to kind of percolate, but I went off to college and I thought, what is my degree going to be in? And I said, well, I'm going to follow in my father's footsteps. I didn't know what else to do, didn't have a lot of guidance. So decided to get a business degree and an accounting degree. And what do you do when you're a sophomore in college? You throw, you know, gasoline on the fire and you buy a bar like I did with a couple.
That sounds like every college man's dream right there.
Exactly. And that's when it really hit me that I really need to understand accounting. Excuse me, because my first week of sales was a whopping $356. Now, when you're 19 years old in 1981, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, this is great. But then you go to your keg room where you have all of your kegs, and you figured you've gone through a couple of the 10 kegs that are there. Each keg back then cost $35. I shook every keg and they were all empty.
Oh, no.
So all of a sudden, I didn't understand cost of goods sold or cost of sales, but I quickly realized I wasn't making enough money.
Sure.
That propelled my interest in accounting and continued to do that. So I left college with an accounting degree and went to work for Ernst & Young, which was Arthur Young back then. Great experience. And in that experience, somehow, again, fate took me to restaurants. Many of my clients were actually consumer retail businesses, including restaurants. And I really enjoyed it. And I just, because the accounting was very understandable, very simple, and the people were just outstanding. I mean, again, I gravitated toward entrepreneurs, et cetera. One of my clients was National Pizza Company, also back then known as NPC, today known as NPC International. And back then you would write a management letter as a part of the audit.
But just curious. So when that transpired, about how big was NPC? How many, were they?
Just a couple hundred pizzettes at the time. Mm-hmm. They also had a seafood concept called Skipper's.
Yep.
And I remember writing this management letter, and the partner in charge of the account, he said, that's maybe a little tougher letter, but we're trying to be helpful to the business. We shared it with the board, went through the whole board thing, and then about 2 days later, the founder and chairman of NPC called me up directly and said, "Jim, you need to come down here and talk to me about this letter. I want to learn more about it." So I immediately picked up the phone, called the partner, and I said, "Listen, I'm going to go down to NPC, and we're going to get fired."
Perfect.
Yeah. So I just want to prepare you for that. But I went down there, and the founder, who ended up becoming one of my true mentors and really a father figure to me, Gene Bignall, sat down and said, "Listen, there's a lot of good points here." And this is kind of Gene's style. He just kind of looked at me and said, "And you're going to come work for us and fix this." And I said, "Well, I'm not really interested in making a move. I'm in my eighth year at Ernst & Young and enjoying it." And he said, "No, you're going to come down here and do this." And so, long story short, I did and went to NPC and served in various roles from administration to chief financial officer, growing to president. Every time I think I got promoted because I was doing such a poor job at the other job, they didn't know what to do with me, so I just got promoted. But ultimately ended up becoming chairman and chief executive officer. And, the accounting and the finance side was a great way to start and understand business. But the reality is it's really about operating a business and knowing how to do that and working with teams and people and taking people with you, which we can talk a little bit about. But that's, I believe to this day, Chris, that somehow my father's intervention was looking down on me and somehow not only gravitated me to the restaurant business, but gravitated me to Pizza Hut as a starting place. And I feel blessed every day that happened.
No, that's such a great story. And, I'm curious. So when you leave Ernst & Young, this big corporate, heavy corporate atmosphere, and you go into this entrepreneurial business, how was that transition? Was it difficult?
It was different.
Yeah.
I mean, truly different, but very much appreciative. I mean, again, had a great career at Ernst & Young, great mentors there, learned a lot. But very structured, right? I mean, that's how they operate, a huge business with tasks that have to be completed. And then you really find your way into this this business that's kind of growing and learning its way and not a lot of systems in place and procedures and those kind of things. And that's what I was there to bring.
Sure.
Was a little bit more of that discipline.
And you have to wear a lot of hats.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember one of my first days being in the administrative office. There wasn't any coffee. So I made the coffee and I wasn't used to having to make the coffee, but I enjoyed doing that and bringing donuts to the team or whatever the case may be. Some of the things that you structurally wouldn't do at like an Ernst & Young, you got to do at NPC.
No, that's cool. Now at NPC, it wasn't just pizza, right? You had other brands?
Yeah. When I got there, we also had a seafood brand called Skipper's up in the Northwest. we weren't a big fan of that business. So that's one thing that we worked on while we were there. We also bought and operated Tony Roma's Famous for Ribs restaurants. Mm-hmm. So that's where we had our experience of being a franchisor. So we were both, we were an interesting business at the time, both a franchisor, Tony Roma's Famous for Ribs, and a franchisee being Pizza Hut. So we got to see both sides of the fence, understand the dynamics of both. And there's always this, you know, what I call a healthy friction between the franchisees and the franchisor. I think, you know, the essence of a franchise or business is really the strength of its franchisees. If the franchisees aren't behind the business, and you have great franchisees, and you really don't have a great franchise or business.
Yep.
So that's the, you know, that's how we kind of looked at the business as we talked to our franchisees at Tony Roma's, which was international, therefore why we had international in the name. We really talked to them about how do we help and support you? What can we do to be, to bring you along and help make you more successful? And had great relationships among the franchisees in the Tony Roma's business.
Yeah, that's great. And one of the things that I loved about Freddy's early on was that it was founded by franchisees.
Right.
You know, folks who really understood the grind of the day-to-day of working in the franchisee space.
That's
right. And I think that's one of the characteristics of this business that really has set it up for success. But curious to hear what excites you about Freddy's.
Boy, I'll tell you what attracted me to Freddy's from the very beginning has been really the focus on keeping the main thing the main thing. I think I've got your throat now, Chris, and we're gonna change the
word. Okay.
But keeping the main thing, which is really the focus on the quality of the food. Just the fact that, you know, the operators out there don't drop a fry or put a, you know, piece of meat on the grill until an order is made just really exemplifies the importance of the quality of the product to the consumer and keeping it very simple. I love that about Freddy's. You know, the menu is generally simple. Not only great hamburgers, but, you know, Vienna all beef hot dogs, and then a creamery that's, you know, better than anybody else out there. But it's that simple. There's not a lot else that goes on, and people really gravitate toward that food experience. I mean, they salivate for that food experience. I know I do. Mm-hmm. And that's I love that, but I also love the franchise system. When I look at this business, you know, the franchisor has skin in the game with a couple of company markets, but the franchisees are growing. They're excited about the business. Chris, they really seem to like you and your team and what you guys are doing. So there's a lot to be excited about. And the white space opportunity for Freddy's is phenomenal. But focus on cleanliness, hospitality, and great food. Keeping it simple. You guys have the team focus, I think, is exceptional.
That's great to hear. Yeah, it's you know, you bring up a point that I think is interesting to touch on. You know, we do have a simple menu and a simple line. You see so many brands that are branching off into breakfast or to snack or late night drinks. And, you know, we've stayed pretty true to what we do. And our vision really is to continue that. Do you think that's the right course, or are we missing the boat?
No, 100% the right course. I think brands that find themselves, well, wait a minute, we're missing this particular demographic, so let's add this. And we're missing that demographic, so let's add that. I think when you gravitate toward becoming all things to all people, you lose who you are. So I think Freddy's continued focus on, again, keeping the main thing, which is, you know, great burgers, great custard. You know, I just think it keeps the brand incredibly authentic, and people know what to expect, and they're going there for that. So there's no reason to try and make things more complicated. You know, the Simon family and Scott Redler, who helped create the concept, I think they were onto that to begin with.
And
I know that let's not make this thing so complicated that we can't operate it.
Right.
And I really appreciate, you know, their thinking on that. And I appreciate the franchisees' continued support about that.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, it gives us the ability to be really fast.
Yeah.
And I think our speed is one of our hidden ninja skills that people don't always associate with Freddy's, but our ability to be really fast with a made-to-order product is a huge competitive advantage for us.
Yeah, I'll tell you a quick secret, Chris.
Okay.
During COVID, when the dining rooms were shut down and, you know, people weren't really comfortable going into restaurants, et cetera, my wife and I's secret passion was every Saturday we'd get in the car, we'd get to Freddy's at 11 o'clock. I'm not kidding. This was every Saturday we would do this. Go through the drive-thru. It was, I mean, I so much, that's when I really appreciated the teams inside that restaurant making things happen. But we would have our same order, grab our food, go sit in the, you know, adjacent parking lot and have our Freddy's experience. And we still talk about that today. And I am not making that up. And
that's
that was
awesome.
Before we were even working together. But that was kind of our Saturday treat during the pandemic.
No, that's great to hear. And, you know, any brand that creates fond memories for its guests is it's winning.
Yeah.
And that's powerful. So, you know, are there any things out there? I mean, right now we've got the banking crisis that's going down. We've coming off of COVID. There are always outside issues that affect your business. But is there anything that you see in the world today that could really hurt Freddy's or something that we need to look out for?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, the macros, you know, when you look at the macros out there, there's a lot, obviously, you could wrap your head around to be concerned about. So, I mean, I think everyone's staying incredibly focused, obviously being careful with capital. But what we always see during these times is, and I think this is a powerful thing for Freddy's and a win for Freddy's, is when you combine, you know, franchisees who are well capitalized and who are great operators, they win during times like now. I mean, these challenging times are when, again, the best operators and the well-capitalized operators really can take share because they have the muscle and the capability to do that. What could hurt you is during these times, you know, someone thinking, well, let's put the pedal to the metal and really accelerate growth to some, you know, astronomical number, which you guys have always been very careful about. You know, you lose control when you do that. So I love your guys' discipline around growth. You know, I'm an old Dave Thomas disciple, and I believe that profit equals growth. So let's make profit, and that returns ourselves into terrific growth.
Amen.
And I think your franchisees are doing that, and they're demonstrating that with their confidence in the brand by agreeing to build more stores in the system. New franchisees coming into the system that are interested in Freddy's for the reasons we're talking about.
Sure.
I think it's incredibly powerful. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing.
I think our franchise community would agree that we have increased our focus on unit level economic and franchisee return on investment. During your time as a franchisee, did you have a franchisor that was heavily focused on your specific returns?
You know, I think the franchisees always believe that the franchisor is not as focused on that as they should be. Cost to build continues to go up. And so the returns, you know, you've got to have bigger numbers. You've got to have higher sales and you've got to have better margin. And so you attack that by, you know, really three different ways, which you guys are addressing. How do we get the four-wall box cheaper to put into the ground? What can we do to value engineer that to make that happen? And then what do we do to drive higher sales volumes? And then how do we improve margin through, you know, technology or more simplification or other things to improve the overall return to the franchisee? But at the same time, the franchisees, and I know I had to understand this, is you have got to reinvest in your business. I mean, you just have to reinvest in your business. It is a part of the core of a restaurant business. And again, my mentor and founder of our company, Gene Bicknell, he was the king of, we called him kind of the chief culture officer. He talked every day about reinvesting every dollar back into the business. And we did that through remodels and we did it through people growth and other things, Chris. But you know, you earn your right to grow.
Yes.
Right? I mean, we at NPC grew from a couple hundred pizzas when I got there to over 1,200.
There you go.
We grew from zero Wendy's restaurants to over 400 because I think we earned the right to grow. We focused on operations. We were an operational excellence company. We had great people. But we made the investments back into the business. And no franchisor wants to really work with people that, you know, let their business become dilapidated and don't put investment back into the business. But we all have to be mindful together and work together. And you know what? Franchisees have terrific ideas.
Sure.
I mean, they really do. They really do. Sometimes at corporate, we kind of lose sight of what's going on in the front lines, but you guys have company restaurants, which keep you grounded in that. But franchisees have terrific ideas around how to make the business, how to improve profitability, how to increase sales, how to reduce overall unit volume or unit cost. And you know, I know we're listening to that.
Sure. Yeah. You bring up an interesting point. We recently opened Belleville, our new prototype.
Right.
And while we were there, guests were coming in, and many of them, it was their first time to Freddy's. And I had the thought while I was in the restaurant, you know, this is great that we get to introduce our concept to all these new potential Fredheads. And then on the way to Wichita this week, I stopped at a restaurant that's been open for years. And, you know, because it's not a new restaurant, you assume that it has a built-in base of guests. And the restaurant was in great shape. And I thought, you know, this is lovely. And I'm happy that I'm having this experience today. And there were some folks in there. And so I just asked them small talk, you know, you guys come to this restaurant off. This is our first time at Freddy's. So, you know, whether it's a brand new restaurant or it's a restaurant that's been open for 15 years, you're constantly delivering that first experience, and a failure to reinvest in your business can lead to a disappointing first try. So it is very important.
100%. And I'll add to that real quick, Chris. I remember I was in one of our stores that had been in the ground for over 20 years. And we did a absolute full-scale remodel of that store. And I was there talking to some of our guests. And I'll never forget, this nice young lady came up to me and said, "I am so glad you guys finally built a Pizza Hut in this side of town." And I'm like, it's been here 20 years. We just were kind of, you know, blending into the backdrop.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So when you think back to MPC, were there things that pop out to you that were absolute successes that you're just glad you did? And at the same time, are there some things that maybe you wished you had done differently?
You know, those would be the failures, Chris, and your podcast isn't going to be long enough for me to go through all my leadership failures, I'll tell you that.
Best teacher is a failure, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. But I think from the successes, what I think, again, we learn from others, and I learned a lot from a lot of different people, and again, we could go through that list. But, you know, David Novak was the CEO of Yum, and David was just a terrific leader. And the one thing I learned, if anything, from him was about taking people with you and recognition. And I didn't understand the power of that until you really started doing it and seeing it in action. So I think one of our greatest successes was always ensuring that our teams, not just the restaurant manager, not the, you know, you call them mums, the multi-unit managers, not just that team, but I'm talking about the entire crew team, understood what we were trying to do. So we over-communicated. We had communication boards in every restaurant so that even the, you know, the cooks and the line servers, et cetera, would know exactly what's going on in that restaurant and what our objectives were and what we were trying to accomplish. Like you're doing a podcast here, I would do a video once a quarter just to talk to the team. And I would say, I am talking to the team. I'm not talking to my corporate team. I'm not talking to the, you know, the region manager. I'm talking to you crew people just to try and make sure that we were taking people with us. And we would share in rewards and we would do a lot of recognition. And again, I think that solidified the importance of operations and the operational excellence. So my encouragement to everyone is to spend as much time communicating and taking people with you as you possibly can.
Yeah, I love that message. And you can walk into a restaurant and you can tell immediately if they have a strong team.
Right.
You know, it's amazing. You spend enough time in this business. It only takes 2 or 3 minutes inside a restaurant and you know if they have a well-built team that's gelled and or if they've got some spokes that are a little bit loose.
Exactly.
Yeah, team is everything, and fortunately at Freddy's we have great teams.
That's true. And And my encouragement is also never walk by a problem. Mm. I mean, you do want to recognize the team, but, you know, sometimes we get into this, you know, rote phase where I'm in the restaurant and I'm shaking hands and all that stuff, but everything's falling down around us. Mm-hmm. Never walk by a problem. And you're exactly right, Chris. It takes about 2 minutes to know if there's a problem.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. So you've heard us say that, and you've probably heard me say many times that I truly believe that Freddy's is a disruptor to the burger category. I think we do it better. We do it faster. We do it with a friendly face. And I think that the other burger guys that play in the value world are in trouble when there's guys like Freddy's out there coming for them. And we talk about 3,000 being a realistic number of units. Do you think that's pie in the sky, or do you think we're onto something here?
I don't think it's pie in the sky at all. I think you've got the foundation of truly a, you know, one of the greatest burger brands out there. Like I said earlier, you've got tremendous white space. You've got an energized franchisee base that's exceptional and wants to grow and demonstrating every day their ability to operate this business at a higher level and more units. So you've got everything you need to continue the growth of this great brand. In the meantime, as I said before, you're keeping the main thing the main thing.
That's right.
And you're not trying to say, well, let's get more sales by, you know, adding breakfast or salads or whatever the case may be. And that's a very consistent experience for the consumer. And, you know, every now and then I'll wear some of my Freddy's swag and they'll say, when are you going to bring a Freddy's to this town?
Sure.
Or when is Freddy's coming here? And you know, we'll get there.
We will.
We will get there.
We will get there. Well, before I let you go, first I want to say thank you for making the decision to be a part of Freddy's. You've been a tremendous asset for me, a great mentor. I've enjoyed working with you, and you've brought insights to the team and definitely some levity to the board, and it's greatly appreciated, and I'm grateful that you're a part of Freddy's.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's actually an honor for me to be with this great team, reconnect with the Simon family, Scott Redler. Your team is fantastic. I know probably the franchisees that may be listening to this podcast think I'm pandering, but it's truly a great team. I mean, just the immense focus you guys have around every KPI and the importance of operating the business and how you think about the franchisees and how you're trying to communicate more and address the things that you've heard from the franchisees is exceptional. And I'm glad to be a part of that and want to continue to be a part of that. And it was great being able to reconnect with you, and I look forward to many more great years.
Yeah, man, this is great. All right, so the hardest question of the day.
Okay.
What is your favorite Freddy's meal?
And that's so easy because it's the Freddy's double combo.
There you go.
I mean, I just go up, I order the Freddy's. I do leave the cheese off. Earlier, I didn't leave the cheese off. Today,
you're a healthy guy.
I'm trying to leave the cheese off. Every now and then I'll go the California burger, but mostly the Freddy's double. And I'm telling you, Chris, and you know, I could call you if I had a bad experience because I know who to call,
right?
That's
a fact.
I don't have a bad experience.
That's great to
hear. I mean, the team is just spectacular. And again, to the restaurant teams out there, they're working hard. I just hope they know they're appreciated because they deliver for our customers every day.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jim. And to the Freddy's Nation, I want to say thank you for taking the time to listen in, and we look forward to bringing you guys some great content in the future. So with that, we're signing off to Never a Dull Moment.